I'm Sister Frances.
Okay.
And I'm Brother Arnold.
Okay. Why don't we begin with a sort of snapshot of what Shakerism is, if there is such a thing possible, and I'm sure there really isn't. But there are probably a lot of people who will hear a national story on this who are not aware that the Shaker religion is alive and moving forward.
I would have to sum it up by saying that Shakerism is a way of life, a way of life that began for those of us living here in Maine a little over 200 years ago now. It was a religion that was founded by a woman, rather unheard of at that time, who came from England. Her name was Anne Lee, and she's known to those of us who have accepted Shakerism as Mother Anne. Mother Anne became very unhappy and disillusioned with the Church of England. At that time, unfortunately, the Church of England, like many other churches everywhere, catered pretty much to the wealthy and affluent and ignored the poor and the downtrodden. Mother Anne had always had a great burden that she wanted everyone to be used fairly, and so she began to think of perhaps bringing the Shaker religion, which was a very small religion at that time, to America.
All right, so they arrived here on August 6th of 1774 and went upriver to a little town outside of Albany called Niskayuna, which means the corn flats, and they were primarily swamplands that they started to drain out. And being English and being pacifists arriving in the 1770s, they did a very sensible thing, and they kept a very low profile. But they were discovered. And in 1780, the ministry went public on the famous dark day, May 19th, when it seemed that the sun neither rose nor set, and people thought that this was going to usher in the second coming of Christ. With this, Mother Anne and those who came with her from England went on a missionary tour of New England and formed what ended up being the nucleus of 11 different communities. And from there it spread up, and Sabbath Day Lake being the last of those to be officially organized back in 1794. If you were to sum up what is Shakerism, perhaps the best thing to say is it's a Protestant monastic community.
People often ask us, what are the basic tenets of Shakerism? Actually, Brother Wayne, who is also one of the members here, has jokingly referred to it as the three C's, but it really does make a lot of sense. It's a sharing of all things in common, so it's a religious communism, living in community. We're also a celibate community, and we also believe in the confession of sin. So the three C's, which are really basics for this this religion, if you will, never have changed since the time that it was first begun. Other changes have taken place. The Shakers have always been a very forward-moving group. One of our songs says, ever-changing, ever-aiming toward a higher, better life. And if a change seems to be for our betterment, to help, then we are willing to change. But the basic tenets of Shakerism themselves have never and probably will never change.
Now, celibacy is one of those three C's that you mentioned and is central to the religion. Can you explain why that is such a closely held belief?
The celibacy really comes from the life of Jesus. Shakerism is founded on trying to live as closely as possible as Jesus did when he was on earth, the gathering together of people, the sharing all things in common, and of course Jesus himself did not marry. Now people often say to us that, well, it's very strange that Shakers don't believe in marriage, and that really is a false statement. Shakers certainly do believe in marriage, but not for those of us who have lived and are living the Shaker life. We feel that we are trying to, and Jesus himself said that marriage was for many people and that celibacy probably would not be widely embraced. St. Paul refers to it too in his writings and says that, you know, while it's good to be married and hopefully have a happy married life, it isn't for everyone. And we just strive to live more closely by those teachings. Also in community, I think that it's rather difficult in a Shaker community. It would be difficult because we are regarded and look upon each other as one large spiritual family. We're all brothers and sisters. If I married, I would certainly want my husband to have the best position. I'd want my children to have special, I'd want them to have the best. It's a natural feeling. And by not marrying, we are able to really care for everyone pretty much the same.
Now, you have some younger members. You're among them. And Sister Meg is a relatively new member.
Wayne.
Brother Wayne is also quite young. Mm-hmm. What is it that is attracting younger people into the religion? Maybe you could speak to that.
Well, I mean, I don't know about younger people. I think it's Shakerism still has a lot to say to people in today's world. And, I mean, I've been here 16 years. Brother Wayne's been here 14. Sister Meg, 10. The person who's most recently come in is Sister June, who's been with us for 5 years. And that is to say, the one that who stayed. We've had other people after her who have tried the life. But I think that in this day and age, there's a lot of people who are searching for something higher and more so than consumerism. And I think there's a general lack of God in our general society that makes people sit down and question and wonder, and one of the alternatives they see is a life dedicated to God, such as we have to offer. And also, I think that, of course, mostly we've attracted Protestants who have virtually no chance of a monastic experience unless they convert.
My understanding is that you're the last sort of active community, and that the New Hampshire Shakers at some point made a decision that they would not accept new members, and you have not made that decision. Can you explain why?
Sure. The Canterbury decision about not accepting any new members, not allowing anyone to be a Shaker, really, while it wasn't put into words, happened many, many years ago. Probably we're talking as far back as 1930s, when those of the Shakers who were still living there, really gave up community life. They lived individually in different houses. They did not come together for worship services. And so I guess when this decision came to their minds, and I have to say, Andrew, I think it was prompted by their attorneys. We're talking about several very elderly ladies who depended a great deal on advice, legal advice, and when they were advised that anyone who would be interested in becoming a Shaker did not have the right reasons for wanting to be a Shaker, that perhaps they were hoping to obtain some of the real estate, some of the money, if you will, that had been saved over the years to take care of the remaining Shaker communities. And that in itself was a very unwise thing to say, because the Shaker Covenant, which every person signs when they become legally a Shaker, it's really nothing but a Shaker, a legal paper, it states very explicitly that no one will ever inherit or own anything, that it will always be for everyone to share. But they forgot that, and so they made that law, if you will, that decree, that there would be no more Shakers. Those of us living here at Sabbath Day Lake gave it a great deal of thought. There was a lot of talking back and forth, and we simply could not come to that decision. I guess our overriding objection was, how do you close the doors of a church? How do you stop God's work? And we feel that Shakerism is God's work, and so we refuse to comply with it. That is when the media and press and company accepted really did us a disservice. They heard perhaps both sides, but chose to more or less emphasize the side of the Canterbury people that it was closed. And so every time anything about Shakerism was written, every time there was a broadcast, anything pertaining to Shakers, we always heard, as did everyone, that it was closed, that it was not possible to become a Shaker. And so through the years, the last 20 or 30 years, we have not drawn that many people, but I think people would be surprised at how many people have been drawn into it. And so, just to go back to your original question, we could not accept that, and we never closed the doors to the church.
And you expect that the religion will continue to flourish?
We hope so, and I expect to, certainly. Brother Arnold can tell you about some recent interest, I think.
So you do have some people coming in and seeking membership or information?
Right. In the last 5 years, we've had probably as many as 40 people writing a year as inquirers. Of those people, you have a very small percentage who will actually go so far as to make an initial visit here of a long weekend. But of those who do, you'll find strongly those people come back to visit more and more to explore the life and to explore a vocation here. Right now we have three people who are, in the next month or so, going to be making their initial visits to the community. One as far away as England.
Many people, as you say, may think that Shakerism is not a current thing. And when I mention to people in other parts of the country that I live near the community, they say, oh, they don't drive cars, and they have buggies, and they have you all mixed up with the Amish. And they have a sense that there was a lot of farming involved. But what is current Shaker life in terms of what is the work that is done at the community that sustains the community on a regular basis?
When I first came here, and I have lived here now 50-plus years, I came as a very small child, life was a bit different. Perhaps the community here was as self-sufficient as any community could possibly be. We raised everything, all of our own food, meat, milk, made butter, and everything. But as time went on and members became fewer, and then actually the interest in Shakers became somewhat different. A great emphasis on educational, library, music. All of these became much more in people's minds. And because of the fewer members, we had to devote more and more time to those things that were taking people's interest more than the farming, although we still raise all of our own vegetables. We were still pretty self-sufficient in that respect, but now we have different avenues where we work. Brother Arnold is our historian and is constantly working in the library with our librarian. We do employ a librarian full-time. He worked for many years with Brother Ted, and that was a real blessing for him because he remembers so much of what Brother Ted knew. And we have visitors coming to the library every single day. They have come from all over the United States and even from all over the world. So that's one aspect where we're involved. We now do have a rather thriving herb business. Sister Meg is pretty much in charge of the growing of the herbs, although we employ a full-time employee also in that respect. Brother Wayne is in charge of our animals. We have a large flock of sheep. He's also in charge of the vegetable gardens, which is a great responsibility, the hay fields and that sort of thing, as well as keeping firewood cut and ready for use. Sister June, because she had been a librarian in a public library in Massachusetts, fit right into the work of the library. Sister Marie, who has been here almost as long as I have, works with me in the kitchen on a daily basis. And Sister Minnie, who is the elder sister, is pretty much confined to her chair. She's very athletic, but still continues to knit and sew. And then Sister Ruth is also a great knitter and makes fudge and does, you know, they do what they can. So the life has changed as far as the work is concerned, but it's still very basic.
Let's talk about music. It was clear to me listening to you all sing last night that you sing together a great deal and put a tremendous amount of heart into the singing. Could you tell me a little bit about the role that the tremendous number of songs plays in the religion?
Shakers probably have never been really schooled in theology. You learn Shakerism as you learn a trade, as Mother Ann would say. And if you were to question a Shaker, I think, over the last 200 years, about something about Shakerism, more than likely their response would come from a song they knew. I think our history, our theology, our life is all down pat in a song. Sister Mildred used to say that there's a Shaker song for every occasion, and she knew more than anybody else because she probably knew close to 500 or 600 songs. Dr. Daniel Patterson from the University of North Carolina spent 30 years researching the Shaker spirituals, and he estimates that there were as many as 30,000 Shaker songs at one time. So we only have about one-third of the complete body of music still available to us. But that's still enough for our needs.
First, the most famous one is The Gift to Be Simple, Simple Gifts, written by Elder Joseph Brackett, right up there. And we've always felt very proud that that song, which has gone so far and wide, is from a little brother at Sabbath Day Lake.